Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line, Kevin Hardwick, Erie County legislator. We're talking about the Democratic debate last night, the last one before the first votes are cast. Kevin, thanks for joining us this morning. An initial reaction of, well, before we get to that, maybe going into this debate, how were you expecting it to be different with only six on the stage?
Well, certainly you expected each one to have more time, obviously, and for someone to really use that time to their advantage. You really didn't see much differentiation yesterday. I thought that Amy Klobuchar had a decent debate. I think she may have picked up a few voters in Iowa, which matters because that's going to hurt Biden and Buttigieg because of the way the rules are structured in Iowa. You know, the rules really do make a difference, except, of course, in the NFL where the rule book is only advisory. But the rules in the Iowa caucuses are at the various caucus sites, there are about 1,800 of them. If a candidate doesn't have 15% of the people in the room backing them, then those people are asked to break up and join another group. And that's important because Amy Klobuchar has been in the mid to high single digits. She's short of that 15%. If her voters have to go to someone else, it's not probably going to be the progressive candidates. It's going to be the moderate candidates. So if Amy Klobuchar stays down, it's good for Biden and Buttigieg. I thought she had a decent debate last night. I think that may help her in some of those caucus sites to get that 15%, which by extension is going to hurt Biden and Buttigieg, which will help Sanders and Warren. Those little things are going to matter because whoever wins Iowa is going to get a boost going into New Hampshire and the rest of the primary season. And again, that's important.
Kevin, Elizabeth Warren had the most speaking time last night when you look at that part of it. One of the most talked about moments from the debate was Bernie Sanders denying that he told Elizabeth Warren in 2018 that a woman couldn't be elected president. Did that hurt him or help her, or how did you see that?
Well, you know, the folks that are talking about it this morning and the folks that are talking about it after the debate thought that she got the better of that exchange. I'm not sure it made much of a difference. I can't see Sanders people saying, oh, my God, you know, he said this, if indeed he did say it, and for that reason I'm going to switch over and go with Warren. I'm really not sure. I think that the media have made much more out of this than is really there. What was interesting last night was the way the moderator posed the question. She asked Sanders why he said it, and he said, well, I didn't say it. Then she turned to Warren and said, how did you feel when he said it after Sanders had just denied it? That was a little bit strange, but again, I think that in the grand scheme of things, I'm not sure it makes much difference.
You know, CNN taking heat for that and kind of how they've treated Sanders in the debate. And of course, Sanders supporters say this is nothing new for just this debate. This has been going on for the entire campaign. Do you feel he's gotten maybe an unfair shake in the media?
Well, no. I think last night that was, again, a little bit weird. But, you know, Bernie Sanders has had ample opportunity to get his message out. I think he's very effective getting his message out. The problem is not everybody agrees with the message. But he's very passionate, and he's had plenty of time to let people know where he stands. I think we all know where Bernie Sanders stands, and we all know that he's passionate about it. And I think for his campaign, that's what's important.
If foreign policy was discussed last night, especially with tensions in the Middle East and the situation with Iran. Did any one of them stand out on that?
No, I don't think so. I think some people did better than others. Again, I think Pete Buttigieg, having served in the military, having been deployed, I think that was a plus for him because it, again, drew attention to that. I thought Amy Klobuchar had some good answers. Again, talking about her time on the Armed Services Committee, and, you know, just laying out her experience there.
Heard, I think it was Val Jones after the debate, say that the debate stage missed another voice, missed an Andrew Yang. And he was saying that basically because he said he didn't hear anything that he thought would win an election over Donald Trump. Still, you know, we're just now days really before the first votes are cast. Are Democrats still dealing with that problem that, you know, basically the biggest thing they have going for them is all the people who dislike the president and not necessarily their new ideas?
Well, that is. And that's why I think Joe Biden is doing so well in the polls, because if you look at his performance during this debate, or these debates, take last night, for example, I mean, he was there and he had some decent moments. But for much of the debate, he seemed a little bit tongue-tied, a little bit confused, if you will. But he does well in the polls, and for that reason, people who might prefer a Pete Buttigieg, for example, might say, you know, I think that Biden is the guy that can beat Trump, and that's much more important than you know what particular issues I agree with some other candidate on.
All right, and then what do you think of someone like Michael Bloomberg, who was not on the stage last night? Is he still as much a candidate as the others?
You know, in the past, you'd say no. You've got to get off to an early start. People who try this strategy of jumping in late, even if they have a lot of money, it doesn't work. But you don't know. He's got a very effective ad campaign out there, and one of the reasons it's so effective is because there's so much money behind it. I mean, it's pretty much unprecedented. And, you know, it may make a difference. I don't think that it will in the end, but it may make a difference. And, you know, I talked earlier about the debates of the rules of the Iowa caucuses. You know, the rules of the debate are you have to have certain standing in the polls and you have to have raised so much money for, you know, so many people have to have contributed to your campaign. Bloomberg is funding his own campaign, so there's, you know, under those rules, he doesn't get on that stage. And I think that's a problem. It's a problem for the Democratic Party, and it's a problem for Bloomberg.
Well, Kevin, we'll continue to be watching this as we go on and getting closer and closer to having those first votes cast. It's Kevin Hardwick joining us live, recapping last night's Democratic debate.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.